www.thebiblecenter.org
for a free, no obligation consultation.
Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you got a financial question, you want to talk about your portfolio, you have a question about where things are going from an economic perspective, let me know. Give me a call. We're going to try to get back to basics here, back to where we need to be, talking about the things that we talk about every day, the economy, finances, and so on and so forth. Certainly the wall's not going to affect our finances and our abilities in the economy. We got other issues that we need to talk about. We're going to talk about some of those issues on today on the conference call. I will likely, I'm not saying for certain, but it's very, very, very likely that we will have another conference call before the end of the month. I got too many things pending from a data perspective that I really need to look at, and I want to get kind of a good, solid end-of-the-year outlook in place before the end of this month. And I suspect that we're going to have another conference call with all of you, with our partners, before we do that. I've also got two, at least, maybe three, companies that entered into the fold of things right before, right at the end of the year that I'm examining. I've got one, I'm going to call it a healthcare sector stock that I'm pretty excited about, that for particularly if you're young, you've got a lot of time, could be a really, really good company. I'm very excited about it. Things happened the way I would hope. It was issued as a brand new stock on December 18th. I had been following it as a private entity 2 years from 2 years ago based on some information that I had received. The rumor 2 years ago was that they were preparing to go public. We thought back then it was going to be about eight months to a year. And 2 years later, and it just happened. But you know, that's the way it seems to be. I can't remember. I know I have. I'm going to say it's been at least 20 years since I have put a buy issue. It's not on my list right now, so don't go looking for it. But is a buy issue on a stock just going public? It's been a very, very long time. It's not something I like to do. They usually come out hot. They usually get, you know, they usually get back to normal. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 months. This stock did not come out the way everybody thought, and then still pulled back from there. The other thing I like about it, it's a mid-cap company already, and that's good. And I like what they do, more importantly. So watch for that. We'll maybe talk a little bit about that so that you guys can look at it on the conference call today. So I hope you're partnered with us. You need to be if you don't. We saw a dramatic increase. We had the largest growth that we've ever had in the ministry was last year in general, in the last 12 months. So what a blessing it has been. My prayer is that we can be a blessing to all of those people that have become partners and have participated in it. So that's exciting. Anyway, we will watch that. We'll see how it goes. But there will be another conference call by the end of the month. By the way, I want to remind you that town hall meeting the end of this month. It's the first Saturday in February. In Richmond, Virginia, Grove Street Baptist Church, outside of Richmond. So you can go to financialissues.org and just click on events. You'll see it. So if you live anywhere in Virginia, anywhere near Richmond, I sure hope you'll come out because we're going to have a great time. The last time I did a town hall in Richmond was at the same church. No. I did one after that. But I've been to this church about four times. But it's the second time only I've ever done one on a Saturday morning. I try to reserve my Saturdays, try to kick back and relax. But the last time I did one on a Saturday morning was at this church. And it was great. Man, it was great. We had a great time. And it was really nice because so many people could come that couldn't normally come in the evening. So we were really happy about that. So I hope you'll come out and see us for the town hall meeting. And I'll remind you again, please go to financialissues.org and click on our retreat and check it out. I hope you'll do that. It will be a time that you will never regret spending. I promise you that. Okay, 844-707-5533. We've got our ag report coming up with Craig Haggart, our ag reporter. We are so grateful for Craig. He's been a part of our team now for about a year, and what a blessing it has been to be able to get a really good, solid report. And I know for so many of you that listen to this program in the rural areas that are ranching and farming for a living, I know you appreciate this. I get comments every week. We get comments about the report and how grateful they are. And I just remind you that it is on our website, probably, you know, by noon, 1 o'clock, it is on the website, so you can go right there on the front page, and you'll find the ag report, and you can listen to today's report. We have probably the last four or five reports on there. So we just rotate one off and add the new one on, and you can hear that. So you don't have to listen to it right now. You can hear it at the end of the day and get a feel and an update for how things are going. So I know yesterday Craig was concerned about corn and what the corn market was doing. I'm sure he's going to give us an update on that right now as we go to Craig. And then we'll be right back and get the phones. Here's Craig Haggart.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market held on to its gains yesterday in sympathy with soybeans despite a poor ethanol stocks report. The weekly ethanol stocks report showed a decrease in production to 1 million barrels per day, which is down 11,000 barrels per day from the previous week. In spite of reduced production, we saw ethanol stocks rise by 100,000 barrels to 23.3 million barrels. In the overnight trade, we have spot corn futures trading unchanged. Soybean prices rose on anticipation of positive details regarding the U.S.-China trade talks. The market was also supported by dryness concerns in Brazil. Brazil's 2018-19 soybean crop has analysts backing up prior estimates as dry areas hit the southern part of Brazil. The 6 to 10-day forecast still calls for moderate showers across all growing regions, but it appears as if the crop is losing ground in that nation. In the overnight trade, we have spot soybean futures trading unchanged. The wheat market managed to close higher, although it backed off its highs as news came in that the U.S. had fallen short of expected export business. It appears as if Russia remains very aggressive in the export arena. In the overnight trade, Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis are all trading a penny lower. Cotton had a pretty good day with March futures closing up 146 points to settle at 73.13. As I mentioned a few days ago, I expect to see some resistance at the $74 level. Yesterday, the market got up to $73.64 before breaking back a bit. It's going to be really interesting to see how the market acts up against that $74 level if we approach it again. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading up an additional 13 points. Livestock futures had a mixed session with cattle closing lower for the day, while hogs posted a stronger close. February live cattle futures were down 50 cents for the session, while March feeder cattle closed 55 cents lower. February lean hogs had a good outing as they finished the day up $1.17.5. Class 3 milk futures slipped in the front months, while the more deferred months were slightly higher. February Class 3 milk futures ended the day down 9 points to close at 14.32. In the overnight trade, they're snapping back a little bit with the February milk futures trading 5 points higher as I record this. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 14 cents lower at 213.84, while selects were 79 cents lower for the day as they settled at 206.47. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 49 cents lower for the day, settling at $69.67. This has been Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Get ready for the...
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
In November of 1620, the Pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association.
The 2019 Financial Issues Retreat.
You may have doubts about healthcare sharing. I know we did. We studied literature about Samaritan Ministries, but we feared that it was just too risky. Instead, as our health insurance premiums went up each year, we would increase our deductible to reduce the premium. And then the inevitable happened. We had to use our insurance, and it was all out of pocket. And we finally took a leap of faith and joined Samaritan.
Each month, we get to give to an actual person with a medical need. We pray for them and put them in the hands of the Lord for physical, emotional, and financial strength and healing. There's no way to fully express that pleasure and joy. During the first year we were members, we had a medical need, and it was all provided for.
It is such a blessing to come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ and share in each other's healthcare burdens. And there's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, of course, you are welcome to do that. You're going to ask questions, make a comment on Facebook, YouTube. We'll get to those as well. I think we got to all of them yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, but you can do that, and we'd love to hear from you. 844-707-5533. I had a couple things I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to get to phones. Let me go to Kathy. Kathy's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Kathy. Okay, we don't have Kathy, do we?
More general about the allocation models. The specific
okay,
one
go ahead,
is,
Kathy.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. So I have two questions. The specific question that I have is our Christian financial planner that he's not with us anymore, but he had us invested in three things, and we're still kind of at a loss. If I were to sell them all today, we would have some loss from, like we have Shy, and we would have a negative 0.4% loss. We have GLD at a minus 5% loss, and then IEF at 7.5% loss if we were to sell that today. They're not on your broad list. I don't really know how to track them or when to sell or when to buy more or anything like that. So I was hoping you could help me with those three things.
Okay, Kathy, tell me about your situation. Are you working? Are you retired or close to retirement? Where are you there and all that?
Yeah, I'm 61, and I'm self-employed in the process of kind of building a business. I don't really have a lot of income. My husband is a pastor. His income is pretty modest as well.
Okay.
And so, you know, we do have some investments, but we're...
Okay.
It's not, we don't feel like we're in the clear in terms of, you know, we'll have plenty when we retire.
Sure, sure. To me, from my perspective, those ETFs that you have, they're not really mutual funds or stocks, they're ETFs, they're a little too aggressive for your situation. I think it would be great to be in a situation where you are, got some positions that are going to, you know, slowly but steadily maybe, you know, continue to grow. Now, maybe even you get some of that growth in those positions by way of the income that they produce. It doesn't mean you don't have to take the income, and you're not necessarily at a place that you ought to be, in an income place, you know, to be receiving income and all that. But
right, we don't need we probably will not need the income. I think that we can, because of continuing to work and things like that, probably for another 9 years, we won't be needing to take the income.
Yeah. So I guess the question is not more what you should do, is whether you should sell these to get the money to do what you should do. So I don't think... Just knowing a little bit, they're not biblically responsible. The one is, the gold is. I guess it'd be hard to argue that that isn't, but the other two are not. But I would just say, you know, you use those, sell those, generate income, generate cash that you can then begin over the next 6 months to gradually invest back into the market and have some good solid growth positions that are large cap companies. Unless you want to just use mutual funds, then you can get some, you know, good solid on the larger growth kind of mutual funds at Timothy, do something like their growth and value fund and maybe a couple things, maybe a little bit in Israel fund and some other things that are going to be growth oriented. Because I think you are at a place where you want to be getting some growth, and at a place where you want to maybe use that money as retirement, and maybe consider putting some of it or all of it, or maybe it already is, in an IRA account where you're going to receive that growth. But either way, you need to establish a good asset allocation model that can help you into the future and help you get some growth.
Right, and that comfortably leads into my next question. I know you're, I've been a member with you, I guess, 1 or 2 years, and you have the four allocation models for TSP, income only, Timothy, and investment. How do I kind of focus on one of those?
Yes.
Okay.
No, you're only going to focus on one of them. which is the 55 to 65, the very first one you come to. Now, one of the things that you might want to do is say, I want to just focus on mutual funds. I want to make it as simple as possible. And I just want to gather a group of mutual funds. That's why I have that Timothy plan allocation model as well. So either the very first one you come to or the Timothy plan asset allocation model, which would be one of those that you would use, but you wouldn't use them both. You would use one, and then you would begin to start to follow through on some of those asset allocation models, watch the buy list, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I've been working off that first one and have lined up things pretty well with your allocation model for that.
Oh, good.
One. But when I saw the others, I thought, how do they fit together?
They're just for, so I put the TSP up there because we have a lot of federal workers that listen. So that TSP is a federal employee post office and other federal employees. TSP is their mutual funds that they have access to that they can use. And that's what that's for. Timothy is for mutual funds. And then we have an income portfolio for you might use someday when you're 670 or older when you're looking for income. You'll switch over to that. But for now, I think you're on the right track. And, I would just gradually now, but you're going to have to sell some of the things which unfortunately got to take that loss. Is it in an IRA account or is it just an investment account?
Yeah, I think he set it up in our IRAs. I don't have that right in front of me right now. We have mostly IRAs, and then we have one just brokerage firm. And I think that he might have had one in the, but I know at least some of it's in an IRA. And he put quite a bit in there. It's a good bit of our portfolio, which really imbalances the allocation, the asset allocation.
Oh, yeah, that would.
The IEF, actually, we would take a pretty significant loss. That would be a 7.5% loss, which is pretty significant. The SHI right now, it's almost, it's just a negative 0.4% loss. So I feel really comfortable selling that. Selling the other at a significant loss is kind of a difficult thought. But I do respect your input. And that's a 7.5% loss if I sell that today.
Sure.
At least this morning when I was looking.
Well, I mean, it's, I think the goal is to see, as you look at those things, what's going to recover. So it's a matter of, do I sell this at a loss to put it into something else that is not at a loss, but down at a loss, from where it was. And because this other thing is going to recover quicker, whatever that other thing might be. And so that's kind of how... that's kind of how you're looking at that. You said the LEF, right?
EF. It's a 7 to 10 year treasury bond.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and if that's where most of your money is, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel good about bonds. I particularly don't feel good about bonds that are mutual funds, but bonds that are government bonds, like that one, is okay. I mean, any growth that you get is obviously going to be just from the income that it produces. And sometimes in mutual funds like that or ETFs like that, you're not receiving all the growth that you're getting from the income.
about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Biz TV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request Biz TV.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. Call 1-800-584-9039, and we will help you instantly. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek. Call 1-800-584-9039. That's 1-800-584-9039. And get started now.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. We're going to go back to phones. We've got another hour and a half left, folks. 844-707-5533. Cue your call up. We've got Jim. Let me go to Jim. Jim's calling us. James is calling us from Pennsylvania. Hey, James.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Good. Hey, Dan. I've been a partner for a little over a year now, and I can't thank you enough for your ministry. I've had the opportunity to share it with other friends, and it's refreshing to have a place to turn to put together a biblical portfolio. So I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
So really appreciate it. The question I have, Dan, is I'm taking my IRA portfolio, which I've rolled over several companies into as I've gone from company to company. And what I like to do is run with the Dan plan. I've looked at the allocation model for my age, and which is between 55 to 65. All this money is in an IRA, and I'm currently 58. And the question I have is, looking at that allocation model, I'm trying to plug in the funds, and I started, let me know if my thought process is correct here, I started looking at the buy list and then the broad list. And the first thing I looked at was the yellow, the funds that were highlighted in yellow, and I looked at the funds that were highlighted in blue. And started plugging in those funds. And does that sound like the right approach to go with this IRA?
Well, I think it definitely is the right approach. I would just caution you when you're putting money, you know, if it's not on the buy list, don't buy it. So okay. Don't buy anything off the broad list, only off the buy list. But I like the idea of getting some of those foundational stocks. That's the yellow. These are companies that are just good, solid, super solid, very large, good companies that I call them foundational stocks, because they're the kind of companies you put in there and you never sell them. You just, you feel very confident that over a 7-10 year period they're going to do well, and they just keep them in there. So I like the idea of starting with some of those that might be on the buy list. I think that's a great idea. Blue are income stocks. It doesn't mean you can't add them. You certainly can. The reason why they are highlighted in blue is because they, for people that are using the income model, which you wouldn't use, you shouldn't use, which you're not using, but the income asset allocation model, that just kind of gives them a heads up of what to look for. So I have stocks that produce good dividends on the list, but they're not highlighted in blue because for one reason or another I don't consider them strong enough or consistent enough or whatever it might be from an income perspective. So, but it's okay to have those in there because I have some, like on the material side that and industrial side, that are both, that are blue and foundational. The lettering might be yellow and the highlighting on it is blue. It's hard to see that yellow, but That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. So I think you're on the right track. Keep going slow. If you need something to fill a sector and there's nothing on the buy list, just wait it out. Don't go off the broad list. Just, keep that money. It'll sit in the money market account until something shows up, and then start to fill that gradually. Try to, work towards the next couple years of having two or three, maybe even four different companies in every sector. So with that in mind, don't buy, if you have that 5% in energy, don't put all 5% of your energy position in one stock if there's only one on the buy list. So just to give you some fundamentals there about that.
Okay. Question under your finance, under your preferred list. For example, FP24, just to use that as an example. Is that something that you buy and hold, and do you have to hold it for a certain period of time?
So the preferreds are primarily for income. They're for people that are using the income. And yes, you buy and you never sell them. There's only two ways that you could take a loss on your preferred. Is you sell it when it's down, or they go bankrupt. That's it. At some point in time, they're going to get called. Now, some of them have a stated call date. Doesn't mean they're getting called on that date. They may not get called for 10 years, and they might have a call date of next year. It's just they're continuously callable. You could buy it today, and they could call it tomorrow. So it really is kind of a meaningless date, but nonetheless, they're continuously callable. But they may never get called. I mean, I had a preferred utility stock in my IRA some years ago, and it was paying a significant dividend because it was old, back when interest rates were high. And it was 13 years, never got called. And so all the gain I was getting on it was from the income I was producing, but never got called. And frankly, at the price that it was paying, I didn't care if it ever got called. I was hoping it never would. But so they're not something you're not going to sell them. You're not going to take profit on them. You're not going to sell them. You buy them. You put them in the portfolio. That's the end of it. And when they're called, you'll notice you don't have them anymore, and you've got all the money now sitting in your money market account. So they get called at $25. Preferred always gets called at the par value. So if you pay $23 and it gets called tomorrow, you're going to get $25. If you pay $26 and it gets called tomorrow, you're going to get $25. So $25 a share. So sometimes it's the par value is 50, sometimes it's 75, sometimes it's 100. But generally, most of the ones on my list are 25.
And you should only buy into these if you're looking to take the income now.
Yeah, there's no reason to own those. There's no reason for somebody that is looking to grow their portfolio. There's no reason to do that. I just read an article this morning in the Wall Street Journal talking about what's happening to preferreds in Europe. And, but they were talking about it. Now, maybe Europe's different. Maybe people do it a lot different there. There are people, I know there's partners of ours that own it because they like it because it's just kind of conservative position. There's nothing wrong with that, but I don't want anybody to expect to make money from it in any other way but the 5% that it's paying every year. So you can look at it and say, well, you know what? I know I'm going to get 5% every year. That is true. But I don't want anybody to look at it and say, because if you're buying it for that reason, then you're going to tend to panic when it goes down to $19 a share. And you're going to be thinking, oh, my gosh, I got this stock. And you're going to call me. And I'm going to say, well, do you have it for income? You're going to say no. And I'm going to say, well, shame on you. Don't call me. You shouldn't have got it. So I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm looking out into the future. But if you buy it for income, and you say, oh my gosh, it's down to $19 a share, I'm going to say, who cares? You're still getting your income, and it's not going to change because you bought it for income to supplement your income. You're taking that income every time it's paid, and you're making that income no matter what that share price is. And worst case is they never call it for the next couple of years, and you're getting all this income, and when it does get called, you're going to get 25. So that's why I kind of give you the heads up on that.
Yeah. Maybe this is not a good comparison, but it would just be like a step better than, like, a laddered CD approach. If you're just going to...
You mean for conservative, like, cash you want?
Well, if you knew you weren't going to need that cash in the near future, say 10 years.
I guess it would be better. It's safer. It's never going to go down in value. So the 10 years from now... you're going to have your when you want to get rid of it, you get to dictate when you get rid of it because you're going to get your principal back plus whatever interest you've earned. So from that perspective, it would be better. Yes, it would be better than the preferreds. Now, preferreds are paying a little bit more, but 10 years from now, you might still own that preferred and it might be $19 a share. So now you're faced with, well, I need the money. I'm going to have to sell it, and I wouldn't want you to do that.
Gotcha.
Would you have lost money in 10 years? No. You wouldn't have lost money even at 19 because for 10 years you've been getting the income. So, but I'm just saying from a safety perspective, the CDs would be better.
Yeah. Very helpful, Dan. I appreciate the feedback, as usual.
All right, James. Thank you for your partnership.
You absolutely
will. All right, I will. I wish you all the best. God bless. Folks, we still got an hour and 15 minutes left. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. YouTube, Facebook. We're going to get to those questions as well. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back.
I was definitely a skeptic at joining Samaritan Ministries because I didn't understand it. I was used to the traditional system, so I was afraid.
I thought, what if this doesn't work? I mean, we're going to give up this whole concept of insurance, and we're going to trust God and His people? And I was like, yeah, well, of course.
what we pay every month is about 30% of what we were paying in insurance. And what we get back is so much more, financially, of course, but spiritually and with the care of the community, you can't touch it.
We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing.
Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it. We've got lines open. We've got another hour and 15 minutes. So you can queue your call up again, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. All right, let me go to Larry. Larry's calling us from Alabama. Hey, Larry.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you.
Good morning.
Long-time partner, and I have become convicted partially from listening to you and partially from just as I grow older and get a little wiser, maybe, that I needed to be biblically responsible. So I undertook the plan to liquidate some managed accounts that I had with other companies and roll over a 401k and put everything into one account that I could get to. Now it's in multiple IRAs, either traditional Roth or a SEP.
That's
for my wife.
Okay.
And turned it into cash. And now I've sat down and I've walked through the buy list and said, okay, I'm going to pick these, and I've got my sectors and, worked out the model to be able to make all the purchases. And as I was liquidating some things, I came across two, and I gave them to Darlene, and I wanted to get your opinion, because I'm down in both of them, and for some reason, one of them I know I've heard you talk about before, and I don't see it on the buy list any longer, and I didn't see it on a sell. And then the other one, I don't really know how I ended up with it.
Okay. Well,
so,
the energy stock, I'm looking for the number just so I can tell people, but I can't find it. The energy stock, the other one, that the TM29, that's, as a matter of fact, that just went on my buy list again yesterday. So
okay.
I don't know if you've looked since then, but it's back on my buy list again. There's two of those Timothy funds that went back on my buy list yesterday. That is one of them. I feel really, really good about the sector, about what how that's going to go. I mean, definitely, you definitely don't want to sell that. I mean, it's a mutual fund. It's good, solid. All of them had a rough year, but man, that's one you want to keep. If you can add to it in the next couple of weeks, I would do that. I would say the same with the energy stock. What was the number, Ian? 38, E38. You know, that's from all that I can see today, I don't see that having any kind of a run-up in 2019. I think it would be, if it does, it's going to be fourth quarter. But would I buy more or keep it? Absolutely. There's no way I would budge. I've got a couple others that are similar. And I, at the end of the year this year, I dollar cost averaged down in both of those. I was kind of glad that they took the dip they did because I had some high share prices on them. So I wouldn't even think about touching that. That's just going to track with the energy sector. So, you know, they're going to do is they're not going to come back strong until oil companies and not gas companies really start to come back strong. And what I mean by coming back, I don't mean producing a lot. I mean the pricing. So until the pricing starts picking back up as it has in the last, you know, 8 days. If that continues and we get back up to 55 range, $55 average, somewhere in that neighborhood barrel, then what you're going to start to see, the company like you have is going to start picking up. They're going to start picking up because more fields are going to go online, and we'll start to see some balance coming back in. So, great, two great positions to have. I definitely wouldn't sell them. And I, you know, if you have a mind to, if you need more in either one of those kinds of allocations, I would add to it, and I would do it sooner rather than later.
So I want to be clear, because I did pull up on the buy list, TM29 is not the one that I gave to Darlene. And they are significantly different in value. No. Now, it may be
TM,
you know, in the same fund.
TM, you're talking about the small cap, right? When you're talking
right.
About, is it, am I right
cap,
about that?
It is a small cap, but it's not the same one that is on the buy list. I don't know. If
well, the one on the buy list
with different names.
No. Well, there could be. It could be, but it's the one that I'm looking at is sitting at about $10.32 a share.
Correct.
Right now. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's the one I'm talking about.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, it just is not on the same plan. All right, so you would suggest holding both and make them dollar cost average, because I'm down about $500 or so in that one. I've been holding it for a while, and about $280 on the other one. So I guess if you're holding, if you're saying hold, then I'll buy.
Well, if you have if you can, I would buy more of both of them if it's not going to throw you over your allocation. And again, I would try to do it sooner rather than later. I'm not saying there couldn't be some more downside potential, but in the last 6 days, that Timothy Fund has done really well. So it's already started to crank back up again. So for the week, it's up 7% for the week. So if you're going to dollar cost average, I wouldn't wait. I would do it now. As I said, I did both of those. One is not the exact same stock, but same sector, same kind of work. I did at the end of the year on both of those. So I would. You know, I would do it soon. I mean, you're going back in now for, you know, as it's already up this year. But if it's still below where you are after this 6 day run up, then yeah, I would dollar cost average down.
Okay. All right. And what sector would you say that that actually falls in? Is it fixed?
It doesn't. It doesn't fall in any sector. No mutual funds on my list fall in any sectors, or no mutual funds pretty much in the country, unless it's specifically a sector fund. So, I mean, I wouldn't be buying in your portfolio any small cap stocks. You got it covered. So I wouldn't buy any more. But that doesn't fall into any sector. I don't think that's on my asset allocation model for you. I have a Timothy fund on that asset allocation model, but it's not that one.
I must have misunderstood the fund, the Timothy fund, and how they set up on the model then.
Yeah, they don't. No mutual fund ends up in a sector. None of them are in a sector. So they're different allocations. You know, they're small cap, they're large cap, they're conservative, they're aggressive, they're value, they're growth. They're oriented that way. All mutual funds are, again, unless it's a specific sector fund. But my first asset allocation model is broken down by sectors, with the exception of some of the international sectors that I want you to have a position and exposure to international type funds, and I might use some of, or emerging markets, and I might use some of the Timothy funds. All right, thanks.
Okay,
thanks,
so
Larry.
I
appreciate it.
So just check real quick, if the fund is not in a set, or excuse me, if there's nothing showing up on the buy list for a Timothy sector, don't buy the funds.
Well, so there is no Timothy sector, but if there is a Timothy fund on your asset allocation model, then if that fund is on the buy list, then you can buy it.
Okay. I got you. Thanks. Yep. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thanks. All right, Larry. Let me. Do I have time? No. Okay. All right. Hang in there. We're going to get to. We're going to get back to phones right after this break. So hang in there, folks. I would mention to you, we've got been invited back down to Grace Church in Richmond, and Grove Street Baptist Church in Richmond. I was there about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm speaking Friday night. If you're a part of that group of people, and it's made up of several different churches that are celebrate Shabbat with them once a month, I'm speaking at their Shabbat dinner on Friday evening. Then I'm doing my town hall meeting. So I hope you'll come to the town hall meeting. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. There's absolutely no excuse to come. It's kind of cold out. It's miserable. You got nothing to do. Come on out to the town hall meeting. So check it out. You'll see the address on the website under events. So I hope to see you there. It's the first Saturday of February, so it's less than 3 weeks away. So come on out to that. I hope we see you. Make sure you go to the website. Check out our retreat. Click on that, and I sure hope you'll register. You will be blessed. I promise you that. All right, we'll be right back after this. We've got a full board. We're going to get to calls. 844-707-5533. I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, all that you have is His. Let's be a good and faithful steward. More financial issues after this.
If we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.
Opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at BizTalkRadio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at BizTalkRadio.com.